Hey there, sex fans! Welcome back! Today is Monday, April 9th, 2007, and you are listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick, that's me! Today's podcast is brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be able to watch loads of really swell educational, enrichment, and entertaining videos from the comfort of your own home. You'll find scads of titles. Schlepping out to the video store to pick up your smut is so last century, don't you agree? I have a great show for you today, and it has a very international flair. We have correspondents from all over the globe and LA. But before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Today's first correspondent is all the way from Japan. His name is Hiroshi, and he's 25. He writes, "My problem is I have a fixation on cut dicks. So when I'm having sex with uncut people, I can't enjoy it. I feel it's dirty. Should I ask my partners their shape before having sex? Wouldn't I sound like a whore?" What a curious concern you have. I mean, not the cut-uncut thing. That I understand. A lot of people have a preference for either cut or uncut meat, so I'm cool with that. And sometimes the preference is even culturally induced. Okay, fine. So I know that some guys prefer what they don't have. Lots of cut guys look for uncut cock, and lots of uncut men prefer their partners to be cut. Some people make a big to-do about foreskin, as you suggest, because they think it's unsightly or unclean. Personally, I think that's a lot of baloney. But hey, to each his own, right? I also know that most people who have a strong cut-uncut preference want to know in advance if their prospective partner's dick is to their liking. And obviously, the only way to find that out is by asking outright. Okay. So far, so good. What I don't understand about your question is why you think it might be whorish to be upfront and ask a guy about his dick. Like, why? Either you don't understand the meaning of the word whore, or you're just overly sensitive about taking responsibility for what you want. Either way, it makes no sense. Think about it this way. Say you don't ask, and you discover to your great dismay that the guy you're about to bone is uncut. And you get all turned off, and this screws up the screwing. You feel bad, he feels bad, and you look like a jerk. Wouldn't it have been better to save yourself and your unlucky partner the embarrassment of shutting down the fuck by taking responsibility for your predilection before the clothes come flying off? Heck, I don't know about you, but I'd prefer to be thought of as a whore rather than a complete asshole. Dr. Dick has a hard and fast rule when it comes to sex. If you can't bring yourself to ask for what you want, then you deserve precisely what you get. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what's that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Let's move on. Our next correspondent is Faye from L.A., and she's 23. She writes, "I met this guy on the internet, and he seemed nice and all, but I wasn't all that turned on to him. All I remember is that he was pretty nerdy and had really sweaty palms. We went out a couple of times, nothing serious. He just wasn't my type, so I stopped responding to his phone calls. Last week, I was out at a club with some friends, and I saw Mr. Nerdy with another chick. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. That skank's horning in on my stuff. I know I wasn't returning his calls, but still, I saw him first. It was like totally freaky how they were all kissy-kissy right there in front of everyone's face. What should I do? Seriously? What should you do? How about getting a life, you vacuous twit? And I mean that in the nicest sort of way. If you could just pull your head out of your ass for a minute and listen to yourself, your misguided notions about dating and your fundamental lack of respect for the feeling of others would surely grate on you as much as it did me. Your chatter is like fingernails on a blackboard. Think about what you're suggesting here. You're getting all territorial about some guy you barely could bring yourself to give the time of day to. You didn't bother to take the time to look beyond his nerdiness and his sweaty palms like this other chick did. Had you, you might have discovered what this other skank, as you so lovingly refer to her, has found. Like most nerds, this guy probably has developed other means of making himself attractive and interesting to compensate for his nerdiness. Hey, maybe he's got a big dick, or he's great in the sack. Maybe he's got a big bank account, or maybe he simply has a handle on the basic social graces, something that you, dear Faye, have yet to grasp. Your jealousy is neither cute nor charming. It does, however, mark you as self-centered and childish. For the most part, jealousy is a byproduct of a lack of self-confidence and self-esteem. Here's a tip, darling. Try and develop a healthier sense of self so that you can mature into someone who can interact with others in a respectful manner that is befitting other human beings. Good luck. And now, my friends, all the way from Poland. My correspondent's name is Carol, and he's 28. He writes, "Hi, Richard. I got two questions from a country which is still working on being sex positive," with a smile. Ha! You guess. "The first question refers to your last podcast where you said that dribbling instead of shooting is related to the strength and tone of the PC muscle. I notice that if my testosterone levels are low, I also have trouble shooting and dribble instead. So I was just wondering whether there may be other factors involved since I shoot right when I am horny enough. The second question refers to men taking the bottom role in sex with a woman. I guess I would have some trouble finding someone that open-minded here in Poland, but provided that I did, I'm a little concerned about health. What is important in buying a strap-on for penetrating a guy? Also, what are the safety rules for butt-fucking in general? You know, you mentioned some of it earlier, and I guess a butt-fucking tutorial is long overdue. Regards, Carl." Hey, Carl, thanks for the feedback. You're right, of course. Kegel exercises are just one aspect of healthy sexual functioning in men. Maintaining a stable level of testosterone is also important, especially as we age. In addition to experiencing a decrease in sexual desire and erectile function, men with lowered testosterone levels may also notice changes in mood and emotion, and a decrease in body mass and strength due to loss of muscle tissue, and an increase in body fat. This is, as you may well know, known as andropause, the moral equivalent of menopause in women. Did you know that after the age of 30, a man can lose up to 2% of testicular function each year? 20 to 50% of otherwise healthy men between the ages of 50 and 70 have lower than normal levels of testosterone. And for the most part, this condition goes untreated. Many doctors are hesitant to suggest hormone replacement therapy for men because they believe that many of the changes we experience as we age are simply due to the aging process and not a hormonal imbalance. And since the general public is unaware of the problems associated with diminished testosterone levels, the likelihood of a proper diagnosis and treatment becomes even more remote. Guys, make sure you stay on top of this. Don't count on your physician to make this call on his own. Remember, doctors are better doctors when their patients are informed and proactive about their health and well-being. As to your question about a strap-on and what a guy should know about buying one for his female partner, that's another really good question. I suspect the overriding concern for the amateur butt pirate is to get his gal a comfortable harness that can accommodate a couple different sized dildos. May I turn your attention to the banner for the JT's stockroom on the left-hand side of drdicksexadvice.com. Click through there and search for the Bend Over Beginner's Harness Kit. It even has a number. It's B664. The good people at JT's have painstakingly put together everything you need for your first pegging. Finally, you'll be happy to know that I'll finally be presenting my long-awaited tutorial for a top at the end of today's show. So please stay tuned. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what's that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it is 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Toronto. Joanne, who's 25, writes, I'm 25, 5'7", and weigh 105 pounds. I take care of my body by eating right and exercising regularly. My problem is that I hate the way I look. I'm actually repulsed by my body. I take very brief showers and avoid the mirror as much as possible. I am not a prude. Others being nude is fine. But my body image issues are hindering my sexual encounters. I always want to wear a shirt or have the lights off. My current boyfriend says that if I trust him enough to sleep with him, I should trust him enough to let him see me naked. He also has told me that we can't continue to see each other if this doesn't improve. But I let him see every part of my nude body, just not all at once. So he knows I'm not hiding some monstrous deformity or anything. I guess I thought my boyfriend would be more sensitive to my fear and let me stay covered up. Do you think I owe him nudity? Hold on there, girlfriend. You think your boyfriend is being insensitive because he wants to enjoy your body in the buff? You think that he's sticking around just to needle you about your phobia? Honey, get over yourself. Do you honestly think that your body-positive boyfriend ought to facilitate and participate in your pathology? Yeah, like, why don't we all just sink to the lowest common denominator? Your boyfriend thinks, as I do, your relationship is on the line here. You need to get a handle on your hang-ups, darling, or you can just say goodbye to whatever sex and intimacy you are currently enjoying. Listen, I have a thing about sex and intimacy, being a gift one gives to another. So I ask you, how can you give yourself as a gift to anyone if you are disgusted with the gift you're giving? And you never will convince me that your body issues aren't seeping into and sabotaging the sex you may be having with your long-suffering mate. I'll betcha you don't let him get too close to any of the body parts you're willing to expose to him, even when the lights are out. Joanne, being repulsed by your own body is a sign of much deeper pathology. I suggest you get to the bottom of this with a sex-positive therapist right away. When I encounter this sort of thing in my practice, inevitably, my client and I discover a past body-related trauma to be at the root of his or her current disgust. Left untreated, this aversion could easily morph into a desire to harm yourself. Please, don't let that happen. And to your closing question about, do you owe him nudity? What the fuck is that? Is your sexuality and the intimacy you share with your partner something to be bid and bargained for? Sex and intimacy is either a gift freely given or it's coerced. If you're feeling coerced about being naked with the man who loves you, you'd better set him free and get thee to a nunnery. Good luck. Alrighty. Hey, Dr. Dick, what's that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. My next correspondent is William from the UK. He's 30. He writes, I'm new to this scene, and I have very little experience in anal sex, and I am seeking your help and advice. I am a top, but I have a problem keeping my dick hard or staying hard during anal sex. I find it harder to fuck an ass compared to fucking a pussy. Here's the problem. Once I get my dick hard, put on a condom, and start fucking, my dick sometimes goes soft on me. Is that normal? How can I keep my dick hard long enough in the ass to enjoy the fuck? Sometimes, even when my dick is hard, I find it hard to penetrate an ass. I use lube, so what am I doing wrong? People in gay porn can fuck and fuck like there's no tomorrow. I want to enjoy anal sex too. Any advice? Please let me know if there's anything I can do to improve in this area. Boy, you're in luck, William. At the end of this week's show, you'll be treated to my long-awaited tutorial for a top. It will answer a lot of the questions you have about butt fucking. But before we get to that, I want to address the specific issue you raise about keeping your dick hard while fucking. You are right to point out that fucking an ass is different than fucking a pussy. But regardless of what hole you're invading, a nice hard stiffy is essential. Are you familiar with a cock ring, William? If not, I suggest you acquaint yourself with these amazing low-tech wonders. Here's what you should do. Turn your attention to the JT's Stockroom banner on DrDickSexAdvice.com. Click through that link and go to the cock and ball toys section. Once there, look around for the cock rings. You'll be sorely amazed at the variety and functionality of these little devils. Cock rings can create larger and harder erections. Since blood flow enters your dick through the arteries deep inside your cock and leaves it through veins closer to the outside of your tool, wearing a cock ring can help to keep more blood inside your dick shaft. And as all you rocket scientists know, blood is what causes erections in the first place. Some men even claim that wearing a cock ring intensifies their orgasm. Personally, I recommend the flexible and adjustable cock rings. These are generally made of stretchable rubber or leather. For the more daring, there are the metal variety. These may look pretty, but they can be a bitch to put on and take off. But here's how you do it. First, pull your ball sack through the ring. Follow this by popping each of your balls in turn through the ring one at a time. Now bend your cock down and pull it through the ring. As you can see, putting one of these little buggers on before you have a full hard-on is going to be a whole lot easier. To take the cock ring off, simply reverse these steps, pushing your flaccid cock back through the ring first, followed by each of your balls, and finally your ball sack. It is absolutely essential that you not wear this kind of cock ring for longer than a couple hours. Make sure you don't buy one that is too small either. If your dick is turning an angry red, or worse, purple, or it's cold to the touch, you're in trouble. Take that ring off immediately. If you don't, you will risk serious injury to your precious dick. Remember, people, play smart with all your toys. Good luck. Finally, to conclude today's show, we have another in our sexual enrichment series. Finessing That Ass Fuck, a tutorial for a top. Ta-da! Without further ado, here's Dr. Dick's long-awaited seminar on being a great ass fucking top. This is a companion piece to an earlier tutorial for you novice bottoms out there. Remember? Liberating the B.O.B. within. That's B.O.B., big old bottom. Look for it on drdicksexadvice.com. Today's tutorial is for anyone who is considering being a top in butt-fucking sex, regardless of whether the meat injection is 100% prime or a beef substitute, a strap-on dildo. These words of wisdom are for you. Some folks are not open to experimentation with their asshole. They think it's going to be painful, or worse, the idea grosses them out. First off, you don't want to try topping these folks. A good top should know it makes no sense at all to try to force or belittle an unwilling bottom to give up his or her rosebud. This is simply a waste of everyone's time. But if you succeed in getting the unwilling bottom to relent, and the fucking attempt confirms the bottom's earlier suspicions that this activity is indeed painful, or gross, or both, you will have won the skirmish, but you will have also lost the war. Second, before a top commences a fuck of any kind, he or she ought to consider whose pleasure is primary in this particular fuck. There is a big difference, you know, between fucking for a top's pleasure and a bottom's pleasure, or fucking for mutual pleasure. If a top is trying to finesse a bottom into exploring ass fucking for the first time, that top needs to resign himself or herself to concentrating on the bottom's pleasure first. Start by getting the bottom comfortable being touched where the sun don't shine. Lubricate your hand and massage the outside of his or her hole. Make some lazy little circles with your finger and drive your bottom wild with desire. When her sphincter starts to quiver, as it surely will, slowly penetrate your bottom's butt with a lubricated fingertip. Tip, remember tip. After a few minutes of just hanging out there with your fingertip in his poop chute, you can begin to slowly slide your finger in and out. When you're fingering somebody for the first time, be sure to take your time. Allow his or her muscles to adjust to being penetrated. Hey, you might want to incorporate a thin, vibrating dildo or some expert rimming to pave the way for bigger things. When a top fingers a bottom, he or she ought to consider the width of his dick or her strap-on. Once your bottom can take two fingers comfortably and three fingers with a minimum of discomfort, he or she is ready to take almost any modest size cock or dildo. If you're very well endowed or you plan to strap on a monster dildo, you'd better adjust your finger formula based on the width of your fingers and the equipment you intend to use. A clean asshole is a fuckable asshole. Hygiene is essential for both tops and bottoms. Bottoms, of course, need to anally douche before the big fuck date. And tops, once your cock or your strapped-on dildo has been inside your bottom's ass, don't go putting that thing anyplace else until you've washed it off with soap and water. Carelessness in the hygiene department is just inviting a serious infection. Tops, be sure to use a good lube and make sure that you have your favorite condoms near to hand. Getting your bottom into the right position, one that is comfortable for both you and he or she, is paramount. There are way too many positions for me to cover here, but when choosing a position, consider your preference, your bottom's preference, your cock and dildo size, your body type, and your bottom's body type. You may also find that a pillow or two will help support and prop up your bottom in almost every position. Painful fucking is a sign that something is being done incorrectly. It is not a sign from God that ass fucking itself is wrong. In most cases, pain is due to a couple predictable reasons. The bottom is too tense or is tightening up. The top is being impatient and is pushing too hard prematurely. There might not be enough lubricant, or the cock or strap-on is way too big for the bottom's experience level. Obviously, both people should be comfortable and feel at least some pleasure in the fuck. However, it's perfectly fine, on occasion, to concentrate on one person's pleasure over the pleasure of the other. Just make sure that you both agree on whose pleasure is going to be the focus of any given fuck. Topping is a skill like any other. Practice will improve your technique. And while practicing, invite and listen to the feedback coming from your bottom. Okay, let's review. Always use a lubricant. A lot of lubricant. Water-based lubricants are latex compatible and highly recommended. Stop immediately if your partner asks you to stop. I'm not suggesting that you stop altogether, just don't push yourself into your bottom when he or she wants you to stop. Find the source of the problem. Is it lubrication, position, whatever? Resolve the problem and resume the fuck. Take it slow. There's no need to rush, especially if you're experimenting with anal sex for the first time. A bottom's desire to be fucked does not necessarily ensure a pleasurable buggering. It's nice that he or she might want to surrender his or her ass, but that's not always going to make it happen on its own. Always communicate with your bottom. Keeping your communication playful and dirty helps. Tops, be open about what it is you want and how you're feeling. Oh, baby, that's right. You got such a tight hole. You want my big meat in your ass, don't you? Yes, you do. Open up for daddy, or mama, as the case may be. Get the picture? Some experienced bottoms can orgasm with ass fucking alone. Women do so because of pelvic muscle contractions, and men because of the pressure applied to their prostate. Oh, and here's something you need to know. We all have two sphincter muscles. If you insert a finger about a half inch into your ass and press your fingertip against the side of your ass, you'll find both of them. There is less than a quarter of an inch between them. The external sphincter is controlled by the central nervous system, which means that you can tense and relax this sphincter at will. The internal sphincter is quite different. This muscle is controlled by the autonomic nervous system, making it involuntary. This muscle responds to fear and anxiety. It may cause your bottom's hole to tense up automatically, even if he or she is trying to relax. Tops, remember that the rectum is not straight. After the short anal canal that connects the asshole to the rectum tilts toward the front of the body, sometimes as much as 90 degrees. That's why some people are anatomically less suited to ass fucking than others. Finally, the best attribute a top can have is his or her sense of humor about the whole friggin' deal. Fucking ain't as easy as it looks in the porn movies, at least not at first, but perseverance will carry the day. Good luck, butt pirates. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to the amazing technology of AEBN.net, you'll be able to watch loads of really swell educational, enrichment, and entertaining videos from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Hey, it's not free, but you probably already figured that out, huh? The nice people at AEBN are happy to bring you all of this super-duper video on demand when you purchase a wad of minutes, all at a really low price. Once inside Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library, just click on the new user icon at the top of the page. Create a username for yourself. Then you'll be directed to buy a pay-for-view package that suits you. And, of course, you can buy additional minutes anytime you'd like. Then just pick a video, sit back, drop your drawers, and put a smile on your face. It's that simple. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Before I go, I want to call your attention one last time to the lickety-split connection at drdicksexadvice.com. Remember, folks, no one's going to answer your phone personally because it's voicemail. That's right, Dr. Dick is offering you a toll-free podcast voicemail phone number to call in your questions. You do want to be in one of my podcasts, don't you? Call now, 866-422-5680. Again, that toll-free voicemail number is 866-422-5680. Don't be shy, let it fly. And look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes and SexAudia, that's audio with an A.com. On iTunes, you'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory, Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, too. I don't want you to miss even one exciting episode. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.